How about now? John's Gospel, chapter 8, beginning in verse 37. Let's hear the word of God. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God. Now, Heavenly Father, I ask again your blessing as we are privileged to open your word. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will illuminate the scriptures to us, to open our hearts and our minds to receive them. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it was once a fairly common thing to hear kids fighting out on a playground over whose dad was bigger or whose dad was tougher. The fight didn't change anything. Their dads were what they were, but that's kind of what kids do. These are childish battles that are fought over family pride. Those things still go on. You'll still hear from time to time, you'll hear certain family members say stuff like, we're Smiths, and Smiths don't do those sorts of things. Or we're Joneses, and we do this because we're Joneses. There's a certain family pride that people kind of latch on to. The arguments made on the playgrounds, the arguments made in the social centers, they're not new. Jesus has just made a statement to these Jewish listeners about truth and how they could know truth and how they could indeed be free. And how ultimate freedom is obtained through Jesus, through him. Early on, these Jewish listeners were warming to Christ, but not because of the spiritual message that he brought. They were warming to Christ because they were believing that he was the Messiah come to relieve them from the oppression of Rome. As Jesus goes on with his teaching, you can see that their warming to him was superficial at best. Sin, in the form of that old family pride, it's raising its head in protest. Jesus said, If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And they said, Free? What do you mean free? We're children of Abraham. We don't need freedom. We've never been captive. And we said last week how silly that statement was that they made. Because a casual look at their history says otherwise, that they've had times of captivity. They're proud of the family that they're in. But never once do they understand the grace of God that put them in that family. We read this morning in our call to worship in Psalm 68 that God sets the solitary in families. Why are you in the family that you're in? Was it the roll of the dice? Was it a mix-up at the hospital? Did your mom come in to take you out of your crib in the nursery and she got somebody else's? That may happen, but not with you. You're where you are because God put you there. And the Jewish people, when they thought about their family, of course they thought about the extended family with Abraham as their father. And they understood that to be a descendant of Abraham was a great blessing. God covenanted with Abraham. And so to be a part of his line was a blessed thing. And they reveled in that. And they were proud of that. But they didn't fully understand all that that entailed. Along with great blessing of being a son of Abraham, there was a great responsibility. And they kind of ignored that part. And Jesus, when he speaks to them, and he even acknowledges this to a degree, is shaming them. They're shamed by their great boast. He says to them, he says, look, I know that you're Abraham's kids, but you don't act like it. In fact, you want to kill me because my word has no place in you. Such a statement is stunning. It's cold, hard truth. And their ears are set aflame from hearing this. These are words that we would never want to have spoken to us. That my word has no place in you. And Jesus, for the umpteenth time, explains to them once again that the words that he speaks are the words of the Father. He tells them again, I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. The message that Jesus says to them in this little statement is pretty clear. Jesus is from the Father in heaven. And they are from their father, kind of leaves it up in the air, doesn't it? You ever insult somebody without saying the words? I'm from my Father who is in heaven, and you are your Father who... Well, that struck a chord. I know when I've been insulted. I know when I've been insulted. They said, wait just a minute. Abraham is our father. They fall back on that old family pride. And when they do that, you see, in their minds, that's supposed to be the end of the argument. I've made my statement. That's it. We don't go any further. Ba-boom. And Jesus says, all right, all right. If you were Abraham's children, you'd do his works, right? Right? Isn't it a natural thing for children to imitate their parents? Sure. We raise children. What are we doing when we're raising children? We're teaching them how to live. And we're teaching them how to live based upon our own experience, based upon our own knowledge. And we want our children to imitate, at least to activate in their own lives, what it is we're doing. And we hope that we're living such a life that their imitation of us is a good thing. Paul, paraphrasing Paul later on, he says to Timothy, he says, do like me. Be like me. You know? Don't be like Mike. Be like me. You know? If you were Abraham's children, you'd do his works, wouldn't you? You see, if the kids turn out right, we have in our own minds a degree of satisfaction that we've done a good job, that we've been successful in their upbringing. These fellows are boasting that they're Abraham's kids. Well, Abraham was quite a guy. Abraham was, he was really an interesting fella. You know, starting back, we're not going to turn there, but you start back at Genesis 12 and read on from there. Abraham, who was Abram at the time, was chosen by God. By grace, you see. Abraham didn't bid on what it was he was about to do. Abraham didn't know what he was about to do. But God, by his grace, came to Abram and he says to him, I want you to leave everything and go to a place that I'm going to show you. Now, Abraham was established in his life. He was a wealthy guy. He was also 75 years old. At 75, we're kind of settled down. We're not usually gearing up to go on new adventures. Maybe we should. You know? Maybe we shouldn't give in to what society says, that at 65 we should be retired and living the life of ease. Maybe we should be gearing up for that next level, that next station. Abraham's 75 years old when God comes to him and says, leave it all. Go to a place I'm going to show you. He didn't have a map. Certainly didn't have a GPS. What did Abraham do? He said, I don't think so, God. He says, you know, I'm settled here. I like it here. Things are going well. Not at all. He was faithfully obedient. He says, okay, let's go. Let's do it. God came and covenanted with him and said, you know what? Through you will come a great nation. So great that you won't even be able to count them all. Abraham is 75 years old. This is not the time in life we start having children. The The promise is given to Abraham that he would have a son. And we remember, you know, he believed, but he wanted to help God out along the way. And so they produced a son that was not the son of promise. And it's like God cuffs him up in the back of the head and said, look, I told you this is what I'm doing, and this is how it's going to work out. And when Abraham is 100 years old, he has a baby boy. Well, not him personally. That was his dear, you know, in the spring of her life, wife, Sarah, you know. She was only 90. Remember Abraham, he believed. He believed maybe a little with some trembling, but he believed. And God gave him, at 100 years of age, the son of promise. Abraham believed God's word. What God spoke to him, he took in. He always had faith in God's word. And that included after a time. Isaac was born, and he began to raise Isaac. He was getting to be just a little fella. And one day God came to Abraham and he said, I want you to take Isaac up to Mount Moriah. And I want you to sacrifice him. Well, that was unheard of. That was repulsive. God does not accept human sacrifice in that way. And yet this was God speaking to Abraham, saying, do this. And Abraham had faith in God's word. And so the day came, as we recall, where he got Isaac they got one of the servants and they headed out to Moriah. And Isaac is given the bundle of wood to carry. And Abraham is carrying a torch. And they're marching up to that mountain. And Isaac looks at his father and he says, I know we're going to sacrifice to Almighty God, but where's the lamb? And Abraham, with, I believe, some trembling in his voice, said to him, the Lord will provide. Thinking the whole while that when they got up on that mountain, that the altar would be set up and he was going to have to slay his own son. Every step of the way, hoping that God would indeed provide the lamb. What rejoicing must have filled Abraham's being when indeed they got there and God had provided the lamb for the sacrifice. Abraham was faithful. He believed God's word. So Jesus is chiding these Jewish listeners just a little bit. If you're Abraham's son, then you do what he did. If you're Abraham's son, you believe God's word. But you don't. You don't believe God's word. No, instead what you want to do is kill the Son of God. You want to kill the one who is giving you God's word. It's not what Abraham did. It's not what Abraham would have done. And then he says to him, said, no, You do the deeds of your father. At this point, Jesus is hinting. He's saying to them that physically, you're descended from Abraham. But he's not who you imitate. He's not the father that you follow. His example is not what you instill into your own lives. They're offended. Jesus says this to them. They get their backs up and they're, oh, how dare you say such and such to me? We're not illegitimate kids. We're not idolaters. God is our Father. You see, they were offended that society has always deemed it a shameful thing for a person not to know who their father was. So many things are connected to that. And we've always said, oh, it's terrible, it's terrible. And so when Jesus speaks this to them, they take offense. They say, we're legitimate. But at the same time that they're saying this, they are insinuating a very wicked idea. They're saying to Jesus, we know who our Father is, but do you? Trying to slam him back. And for the moment, Jesus ignores that. He overlooks the idea that they're trying to spread. And he says, here's the truth. If God is your Father, then you would love me. He's the Son of God. He's family. You would love him. If God is your Father, you'll love me. You know, it's in the day that we live, it's a very politically correct thing for people to say, you know, we're all God's children. It's a great big world. Red and yellow, black and white, we're all precious in his sight. We're all God's children. We belong to the brotherhood of man, and God is our Father. So with that line of thinking, it doesn't matter if you're a Buddhist or a Muslim or a Hindu or a Christian. In that line of thinking, we all worship the same God. Well, let me tell you something. That's a lie. That is a lie. Other religions may tolerate Jesus. They may recognize him as a historical figure who was perhaps a great teacher, maybe even a prophet. But in their point of view, he certainly is not the Son of God. He certainly has no deity. And they don't love him. God is your Father. You will love Jesus. And if you love Jesus, you can be 100% assured that God is your Father. Can be no doubt about that. And how great is that to know? There can be no playground fight over whose Father is better or bigger or tougher. when your Father is the one who is and always was and always will be? Drop down to the end of our text this morning. I'm going to pass over a bunch of stuff, but I'm just speeding along here. Verse 47, it says, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." If your desire is to hear God's words, you can know that you're of God. If you're honest with yourself, if you sit by some time and just contemplate your situation in life, and you say, you know what, if I'm going to be truthful, I have to say, I don't love Jesus. Well, you can ask Him to change that. You can go to Him and say, Lord, I want to love You. I want a love for Christ to fill my being. I want to be so full that indeed the love for Jesus overflows in my life, that people that I come in contact with will not be able to help but know that I love Christ. And if you ask Him, He will give that to you. And you can rest in the knowledge forever and ever and ever that indeed you are God's child. Should make you very happy. Should give you cause to rejoice. It's good news. Let's pray.